Welcome to Black Drop Strip Feed Podcast.
Co-hosted by us, Chris
and Sav.
We're going to be bringing you the latest marketing trends, tools and tactics to take your business or brand to the next level.
Every week, we're going to be rolling out discussions and interviews with practical advice on how to shape your business success. Ready to be a mover and shaker? Then let's get into it.
Hey, thanks for coming this morning. It's great to meet some of you. So some of you I know, some of you are familiar faces, some of you I don't know. Basically, what we're here to do today is we're here to talk about how to nail your social media marketing strategy. So just in terms of context, a little bit of background about me. I've been in digital marketing pretty much since 2007. So I started a film production company and we did a lot of TV commercials and bits and pieces for a lot of the ad agencies. But alongside that, we actually launched a little social media marketing arm of the business. And it was a really interesting time to enter, I guess, the digital marketing world, because in 2007, the iPhone had just been released, the very first iPhone. So that revolutionized, I guess, the world we live in today. But also at the same time, Facebook had just come out, YouTube had just come out, and all these platforms that we now use today and take for granted were brand new to the market. So great time to be there, because we were able to learn and grow, I guess, as the technology evolved. More recently, I helped co-write two papers for NZIE, who launched the first digital marketing program in New Zealand. So I co-wrote the social media marketing paper along with the digital design paper, but I spent 2 years kind of lecturing that. And a lot of the content that you're going to get today is basically similar to the content that's actually taught in that digital marketing qualification. So you guys are quite lucky to get that download. So I think just to start today, I'm going to break this morning into two parts. We're going to firstly talk about, I guess, how to develop a social media strategy. And one of the things that I need everybody to get from the word go is social media today, you can build an organic platform, but if you're not prepared to put money into your advertising, it's not going to be anywhere near as effective as it could be. So businesses, as you guys will all know, a good business typically has a marketing budget. Right, so it takes some of the revenue, some of the profit that you guys make, and it puts it back into, I guess, that top funnel to spread the word and get your message out. Now, if you're not doing that and you rely solely on word of mouth does eventually dry up. So it's something that it's important to make sure that you've got a good, solid marketing strategy. And digital is basically where people's time and attention is at today. So I think the big thing at the moment is whenever we look at marketing, and just putting digital to one side for a moment, whenever we look at marketing, what we respond to hasn't changed. So if you go back over the last 10, over the last 20 years, the stuff that we saw on TV, the stuff that we heard on the radio, the stuff that piqued your interest was the stuff that you gravitated to. But 10 years ago, the channels were different. They were traditional. So we were reading magazines, we were watching, you know, TV, and we were getting exposed to TV commercials. And every now and then a TV commercial would pop on and you go, they did a really good job of that. And it would capture your attention and it would leave a memory in it, right? So the reason you respond to content actually hasn't changed, but the tools and the way you get content in front of people have, okay? So at the moment, people's attention is on their devices. Google Ads is basically the sales arm of digital marketing. So when you have a product that you want to sell and you want to get exposed, you run a Google ad, and it's a way that you can basically pull people in that have gone looking for a product like yours, okay? Now, unfortunately, Google 10 years ago was really, really cost effective. It used to cost you cents to actually drive traffic back to your website. But now there's been more and more and more demand, and the cost of that space has gone up. And so what used to cost you cents now costs you dollars. And, you know, if you're in our industry, we do website design every now and then. If we advertise website development as a service on Google AdWords, we spend $17 a click to drive someone back to our site, right? And that's a highly competitive industry, obviously, but that gives you an example of how much something like Google AdWords can actually cost. So to put that in perspective, social media marketing to run ads and to drive a click back to your website is still cents. The approximate value, if you've got a really good ad, it's usually somewhere about 30 to 40 cents per click to drive someone back to your website. So if you look at that and you compare apples for apples, you go, wow, that's much more cost effective. Now, the difference is when you use Google, you're advertising a product, someone's gone looking for you specifically. So when you get to that point, you're in the mix with everybody else that's advertising. We run a Google AdWords campaign for a building company called Summit Homes. They're a customer I'll talk about later on in the presentation. But it costs them, you know, several dollars per click to drive traffic back to the site. But when somebody's going and looking for new first-time homes, for instance, to buy, you know, they'll jump on Google and they'll look for a company that provides, you know, real estate and first-time home stuff. But you're in that mix with a dozen other people. So it's competitive and your ads don't show all the time. What you want to do, and where social media adds power to that marketing engine, is that if people recognize your brand before they actually start looking for your service, the difference is that connection is a lot less, okay? Because they're going to go looking for you as a company rather than the service that you actually offer. So to put that in context, Google Ads is about sales, and it's important to have a balanced strategy. So I think Google Ads is still important, and having a really good strategy is important. But social media allows you to develop, it allows you to play the long game. Okay, so where you're developing and working on your brand and developing that brand presence. And if you look at the companies that are really successful, you've got companies like Nike and Apple and, you know, Oreo is a really good one on social media. These are companies that have played the long game and they've built their brand and they've been hugely successful. Okay, so if you focus on the transaction too much, there's an element of risk there because the platforms change, the technology changes, and you can very quickly get left behind. So I think that's the first thing I need you guys to understand is today, everybody is on their smartphone. Everybody's using social media. Who doesn't have social media here? Does anybody not have a social media profile on some kind of platform here? No? So everybody uses social media in some form in this room. So that's the first thing. That's where people's attention's at. That's where the opportunity's at. And then we're going to kind of talk in a little bit about the tools and the tactics. So a quick stat from New Zealand, a survey was done by, it's We Are Social, if you want to look them up. They run an average survey, and there's a few stats that I've thrown in here which you guys may not know about, but the average New Zealander spends about 2 hours on social media per day across, you know, different devices, but 2 hours a day just using social media. This is average. Does anybody want to take a guess at how much time we spend online on average? Random guess? If you think about home and work and office and life and your social media activity, how much time do we spend online? A little bit less than that? Six. A little bit more than that. It's just over 6 hours. So that's pretty much one quarter of our day spent online in some form, whether it's replying to emails or browsing the internet. And social media, which is really interesting, social media is a distraction from us. It's a break where you can actually sit there and you can do something that's more entertaining, something that allows you to let your mind rest from the daily activity that you actually end up spending. So this is where social media is really powerful, is because you're in a mode where you're open to absorbing new information. Okay, so it gives you a massive opportunity to build that brand and get people to see you through social media. The next thing which is really interesting is that from a internet point today, if you're not producing content online in some form, in some way, shape or form, you're basically invisible to today's market because everybody is online. Everybody that's doing anything is online. So they're either going to be producing videos or they're going to be, you know, doing Google AdWords, doing different kind of marketing activities. Podcasts is a brand new one, which we're going to talk a little bit about later. But it's really important as a business that you have a solid marketing strategy and that you have a content strategy. And that's something we're going to look at today as well. In New Zealand, the population of New Zealand is pretty much 4.8 million at the moment. So we're fast approaching that 5 million mark. So about 74% of Kiwis, all Kiwis, are connected and are using social media in some form. So that's 3.5 million just locally, okay, just in our little country here. So there's a massive opportunity. In terms of the platforms that Kiwis most visit, and this is something that's interesting because we all know Facebook is the largest social media, but YouTube recently has actually become the default for the most visited social media site. So this is interesting. 74% of people that basically say they use social media, 74% regularly use YouTube, 73% regularly use Facebook. then it starts to drop off a little bit on the other ones. 39% Instagram. Instagram is really, really strong amongst millennials, so people between the ages of about 18 to, you know, mid-30s, early 40s. LinkedIn, great platform. We'll talk a little bit about LinkedIn in a little bit. LinkedIn is fantastic for business-to-business marketing, and something that's happened with LinkedIn recently. 2 years ago, I would have never said LinkedIn was a good platform to go after because they didn't actually have content. It was really just a place to go and look at jobs and see what your coworkers are doing and look up people's CVs. But recently, 2 years ago, when Microsoft bought LinkedIn, they changed and they've been rapidly developing as a platform for businesses, and they now provide media. So you can now get videos and articles and other content within the LinkedIn feed. So that's come a long way recently as well. So something I just want to start by, when you think about a platform, so someone like Facebook is a platform owner. They've obviously built this tool and they've given it to us for free. So you don't even actually have to pay for it if you don't want to, right? So everything on Instagram, on Facebook, on YouTube, it's free to use, okay? But as a business, they're obviously in the game to make money. So they haven't poured all this money in to the platform. They actually want to get something back from it. And so the way they make money is advertising, okay? So they want you to put money into ads to basically get that revenue back. One of the ways that they attract businesses to advertise on their platform is to make sure that they stay relevant to their users. So Facebook has worked really, really hard. They've developed over 2 billion users. If Facebook wasn't relevant, people would be dropping off. You know, they'd be bailing out and advertisers wouldn't want to be there because they wouldn't be able to get their messages in front of the right people. So there's an algorithm that most of these social media platforms use, and the algorithm helps determine the relevancy of content to you. And we're going to talk a little bit about that algorithm later. But one of the things to keep in mind is that if Facebook wasn't interesting to you, you wouldn't open it up. If Instagram wasn't useful or interesting to you, you wouldn't be scrolling through photos. Okay, so it's in that platform's best interest to skew the content to stuff that you'll be interested in. And if you look at something like Facebook, they have about 200 data points on each one of us that are connected to that platform. And things like job, age, relationships, you know, to name a few, your location, where you shop, you know, some of the pages that you like. It's all builds a profile, a digital profile of who you are as a person. And that profile is used to try and align content that you're most likely to be interested in. So from you and I, from a business perspective, we obviously want to use a platform because there's an audience there that we can reach, right? And for us, you know, we can produce video content, we can produce an image, we can produce a little piece of audio, and basically there's this amazing platform that allows us to put it up for free and get people to see what we're doing. Never before has it been so easy to get a piece of content in front of someone, okay? And there are some mechanics that obviously help us to do that. So if we know how the platform picks up and looks and finds content, the easier it is for us to actually get that reach. And then from a user point of view, so outside business context, the people that use it individually, they don't want to be there unless the content's relevant as well. So there's this kind of triad of stuff that's happening behind the scenes. And it's just good to understand, you know, why everybody is actually there and what everybody wants to achieve out of the platform. Engagement. How many of you guys have heard the term engagement? Yep. So engagement is the key metric that measures its success on social media. Basically, every time you go onto social media and you like a post or you share it with a friend or you drop a comment on it, whether that's good or bad, the platform basically recognizes that as interaction on that content or what's known as engagement. Okay? And the more engagement you get on a piece of content, the more that piece of content is going to spread by itself organically on a platform. Pretty much every platform that we use today, regardless if it's YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, Pinterest, they all have an algorithm which works out the relevancy of content and how that spreads. And the main metric that they use to determine that ranking or that score is the engagement score that you get. The other thing which is really interesting when you look at social media and the content online, if you can develop a really, really good social media strategy, and we're going to be walking through in a moment some ways that you can build that from the ground up, what you really want to be doing is you want to be getting people to comment. You want to be getting as much information in terms of engagement on the post as possible. So when I run a drink bottle company and I'm selling, you know, metal drink bottles, I want as many people as possible to see my content and jump on and say, these are so good for the environment, they're saving plastic, you know, they keep my water cool, like I've never had a drink bottle like this before, right? So when people online see those kind of comments, which are their peers essentially, 92% of them are more likely to trust that product and that brand than if I was just simply to go out and put an ad up and say, like my drink bottle, it's really good for the environment. So there are three things that work really well on social media to help generate engagement. The first one is conversations. So as much as possible, when you put a post up, what you want to do is you want to participate. So what's called social media, it's actually about being social. And as a brand, you don't want to stand back and be a little bit of a silent giant behind the scenes. If you're going to put content out there and people start engaging with it, you want to jump on and you actually want to interact. You want to be a participant in those conversations and a facilitator in those conversations. So the more you can do that, and one of the best ways to create conversations is actually by asking questions. So when you go out and you put a post, you know, a lot of Instagram posts are doing this now where you create a little story and you ask, would you do this or would you do that? And people engage, people respond and they answer questions. So conversations is a great way to build, obviously, authenticity in terms of you as a business, but it also helps generate that engagement. So gone are the days where, you know, you put an advert out and you're seen as this corporate that you know, nobody really knows too much about behind the scenes. I think traditional companies like, you know, builders, banks, lawyers, they're very cold-facing businesses. So, you know, from the outside, unless you know someone that works in the business or you've got some kind of interaction in that business, it's really hard to get to know what that business is about and that personality and the character of the business. They might be a fantastic organization behind the scenes, but you don't have that context. Social media is basically your voice as a company. Okay, so it's a way that you can express who you are and show your personality through the way you speak and the way you write and the kind of content that you put forward. So a really good example is, you know, as a corporate organization, you could have a corporate response. You could say, hey, really appreciate your feedback. Thank you so much. We'll get back to you as soon as possible. It's nice and formal, nice and corporate. That might be your style. That might be the true voice behind your organization. But more often than not now, you're going to find companies being a lot more relatable. And so that the way they respond and the way they use their tone of voice, it's like, hey, thanks, you rock, awesome. You know, drop us a comment, we'll see if we can sort you out. It's a lot more peer-to-peer in the way that social media allows you to communicate. And that's really good because it brings life and personality to your business and to your organization. One of the things that's really important to understand about social media, you're in this worldwide group of people with so many different points of view and opinions on how the world should be and how the world should work. And you might have the best possible intentions with, you know, posting something, but it doesn't necessarily mean everybody's going to agree with your point of view. I had a really interesting example of this. I built an app a few years ago called the Gradia app, and it was a travel app. And one of the ways that we promoted that app was through social media marketing. So we would go around different places, different hikes and walks, and take video footage and photography, and we had a little drone which we used occasionally. And we created these videos, which just showed off the different places that you could go and explore. Lo and behold, we were putting these things up on social media. They were getting great traction. And one person out of probably 20,000, 30,000 views, one person decided to say, drones are a menace. You shouldn't be flying here. It's a restricted flight area and all the rest of it, right? Now, it's really interesting because you go back to this person's profile and you can see they're the kind of person that it will have a standpoint like that. And you sit there and you scratch your head and you go, oh, you really want to jump straight in because we knew we were in the right. We'd researched what the rules were. We were on the right side of the beach. We'd kind of coordinated and logged the flight and everything. And there wasn't actually a problem, but he was so determined. He obviously had a bad experience with other drone operators or people, and he was just determined to push his point and his frustration home on our social media post. Now, of course, you know, we're trying to promote a product. The last thing we want as a business is someone saying, you know, we're a bad company, you know, we've done something wrong or we've broken the rules. So out of curiosity, if you were to put yourself in that situation, how would you guys deal with that? How would you guys respond? Because essentially in that moment, you're a PR person, okay? So I think the response that we had, we came back and we said, we're really, really sorry you had a bad experience. Obviously, when we're producing content, we want to produce content that actually adds value and highlights how great the country is for everybody to experience. And while we recognize that obviously this is a concern for you, we did some research and here's the link to the rules around drone flying in your area. And obviously we're really sorry if it caused you any interference personally, but we'd love to chat. If you have any questions, please feel free to email us back, right? Well, he didn't like the fact that, so he kept on going. And at that point, you know, you sit there and go, well, what do you do, right? And the reality is, and I think this is the point that I want to try and get, a lot of people are fearful of that negative feedback. And people go, oh, I don't want that on my brand, right? Don't be afraid of negative comments. The way you handle them is really important. Be transparent with how you handle them. If you've made a mistake, own up to it. You know, nobody expects you to be perfect. Every company, it doesn't matter if you're Nike or you're a startup down the road, every company has issues with a product sometimes. Okay, or a service doesn't go quite the way you expect it to go. Own it, right? People will appreciate that. Own it, but show how you've gone about handling the resolution. And I think being transparent, people will look at comments and go, oh, that guy seems to be a loser, and move on. They won't actually worry about that too much. Strong brands. So, you know, if we're talking about a couple of brands that do really, really well on social media, we've got Red Bull. Nike is a really good example. Lululemon is a great brand on social media. They've been going from strength to strength to strength recently. One of the things that all these brands have in common is that they've built amazingly strong communities around their brands. And a lot of those communities are built up around social media and what goes on social media. A really good example of this, Lululemon has 2 million Facebook followers. They're very relatable to their audience. They've been very honed in the kind of content they produce and how they go about showing what they do. And one of the things I love, and this is a really great way to, you know, generate engagement, just as an example, this is a post that they put up. Fun, quirky, good photo, and they had a whole heap of comments come down. So what I want to point your attention to is how Lululemon are actually interacting. Now, this is really interesting. They've got real social media managers in their business. So there's two people here responding to comments on this feed from Lululemon. One is Lauren and one is Lina. So Lola says, hey, I love it. Great. Can't wait, you know? And Lululemon responds, or Lauren responds, I'm loving those special edition Wonder Undies too. Have you had a chance to try them out yourself yet, right? So there's instantly going, man, thanks for taking the time to drop us a comment. And we're going to try and add some more value to you. The next one down is, you know, someone has tagged someone else in this comment and said, hey, Sean, this is a great gift idea for your amazing wife. Obviously a bit of a play. So the wife's picked it up and tagged her husband and said, hey, hint, hint, this is a really good thing for me. I love the way Lululemon has responded to this. They've gone, I'm on board with this subtle gifting hint. Sean, are you picking up what Leah's putting down? Right? So it's a really nice sense of humor that's coming out. There's a tone of voice and there's a personality being expressed behind the brand. And this is really, really important on the social media front. Your social media is your voice.
Has anyone been to Lululemon? Have you been to the changing rooms and you've noticed what they do there? It's so different to any changing room I've ever been to in the world. And I've been to a few. They put your name on the changing room door. So they don't just walk past and they say, hey, how are those tights going? They go, hey, Sav, how are those tights going? Wow. Mm-hmm. And that's what this is. Yeah. Consistency. Yeah.
So what was your...
It's so interesting because social media is becoming so... Well, it is the world. So we're losing those conversations amongst ourselves, yet it's coming back in the social media. Do you know what I mean? So humans naturally want this interaction. Yet the media is taking it all away. I mean, you don't talk to the person on the bus anymore.
And it's really interesting.
In this way, you know?
Like, yeah, there's this reach out for human connection.
We want to talk, we want to communicate our views. And stuff.
Yeah. So our needs, our wants, our desires are still there, but the way we express ourselves and where is different. Yeah. Cool. So I just wanted to use that to kind of create a little bit of context for everybody as we move forward. So for those that are starting businesses, this next section, what we're going to do is we're going to go through and we're going to walk through step by step how to actually build a social media strategy from the ground up. And for those that are running social media or are in business, this is maybe a great place that you can kind of pull and extract some things that you might not be doing out. So we call this the four-step social plan. So some of you may or may not have seen this before. This is a pretty common used model when setting up social media strategies. Basically, there are four steps in the process. So we start by auditing, I guess, what we've got, or, you know, if you're not up and running yet, what your competitors have. This is a really good starting point to kind of get a really good feel for what's happening in the market, how people are working, what kind of content is working really well. It gives you a way to kind of create a really good foundation for what you want to build on. And then you go and you develop a plan, okay? So you use all that knowledge that you've clustered and you kind of work to go, cool, now that we know what works, this is what we need to actually do. These are the schedules. This is our content strategy. So we're going to walk through this. We're going to have a look about creating an engagement. So once you've actually got your social platform and strategy up and running, how do you actually get people to interact with you? And then the most important thing here, which often gets forgotten, is how do you measure it? Something that people don't do on social media is that they post and then they go off and they don't do anything else with it, right? What you want to know is, you know, a really good social media strategy generally is going to have multiple platforms, multiple pieces of content a week. Large businesses are probably pumping out anywhere from 50 to 100 pieces of individual content every week across lots of different channels. Okay? And that's actually not enough to have run a comprehensive strategy. One of the things that people don't realize when they get into this market is how much work is actually involved in doing this. It's a full-time job if you're doing this for a business. So it's really important to know if you're putting out 50 or 100 pieces of content and some of it is paid advertising, you want to be able to know what's working so you can actually focus your efforts on what you know people are responding to. Cool, so we're gonna look at that at the end as well. So step one, this is your social media audit. Okay, so how many of you guys have heard what a buyer persona is? Has anybody encountered this term before? If you're in marketing, you'll probably be aware of this. So a buyer persona is basically an example customer, is the best way to describe it. So as a business, stereotypically, businesses have a pretty defined target audience. You know, unless you're into selling socks and undies, in which case everybody's obviously going to be your target audience. But as a brand, usually you'll appeal to certain parts of the market. You'll have certain aspects that people will gravitate to. And so a buyer persona is a really good way to start to understand what kind of content is going to appeal to the person that you're most likely or trying to get your business in front of. So I've got an example here. We've just used Tesla Motor Vehicles as an example. So they obviously sell top-end cars. And what we've done is we've created a little bit of a persona. So a buyer persona is generally a fake person. It's not a real person. Now, one of the best ways you can move to try and understand this is if you're just getting started and you don't really know who you're trying to target, but you know who your competitors are in the space. One of the things that I often do is I jump on their social media feeds. So, you know, we're a digital marketing company. I might find another digital marketing company who's doing really well on social media. I'll load up their Facebook profile and I'll start to have a look at who's actually commenting and engaging with their content. Okay, and then from there, you can generally, the beauty about social media is that some people don't have their profiles locked down. And even if they do, you can actually work out a lot of information about someone. A little bit stalkerish, but you can go onto someone's profile, you can click it, and generally you can see things like, are they married? You can generally work out what they do for work, if they're in a director position or if they're a salesperson or if they're a grocery operator, right? You can generally pick that stuff up. You can have some kind of rough indication of their age by looking at their profile photo, right? So there's some data points very quickly that you can actually pick up where you can start to work out, cool, is this the kind of person that I actually want to be attracting to my business? Are they the people that are working and engaging with the content that my competitors are actually posting? And so a buyer persona, and I'll just read this one out to you. It's generally you come up with a bit of a story. You kind of create a character. It's a fake person, but you, from what you're seeing, from the data points that you have access to, you kind of come up with a little bit of a bio about who your character would likely to be. So Joe's story is as an example persona for Tesla. So Joe came up with an idea for his business 5 years ago. He's an entrepreneur. He built an app which helps users budget their personal finances and helps them save. Since then, the company has grown and is now worth $15 million and now employs 50 staff around the world. He's a social connector. He loves attending functions and gatherings, especially where there are other like-minded entrepreneurs. He's not married, but he has one child. He loves skiing. He visits exclusive lodges around the world. Obviously, wealth helps him to do this. He's very much into his outdoor adventures. Photography is a hobby of his. He likes to show off his wealth, and you know, he likes to flaunt his success a little bit in public circles. So there's a little bit of background behind Joe. And one of the things I like doing with a buyer persona is kind of finding a picture that when you're reading this bio, reading this description, you can kind of visualize that and start to piece that together. In terms of the demographic and psychographic information we've detailed here, he's 42 approximately. He's single at the moment. He has an annual income of 250 grand a year. Ponsonby based, lives in Ponsonby. No qualifications. He's a high school dropout, so like most entrepreneurs, he's just a really driven, self-made man. From a personal point of view, yeah, self-made, entrepreneurial, really, really motivated. He's a natural leader, a big picture thinker, and he's got some hobbies and interests there. And I think this is just an example, obviously. I just wanted you to take a moment to think about how you describe your typical customer, because most marketing strategies, they'll be built up of several of these, right? So you'll pick a snapshot and usually do half a dozen different personas, and it gives you different audience options to actually try and target as well. So we're going to talk about Facebook and targeting of Facebook in the second half of this afternoon. But just to wrap up, because I'll give you guys a break in a moment to stretch your legs, just to wrap up where we're at the moment. Buyer persona is incredibly important to help you understand who your customer is, who your community is, and what you're trying to build around. The next part of auditing is the ability to actually go and actually document all your details, right? So I'm not going to get you to do this right now, but on the form when you have an opportunity, it's good to actually go away and go, if you've got a Facebook page, if you've got an Instagram page, if you've got a YouTube account, you know, having a central place where you keep all your usernames and passwords, because evidently most businesses grow, and even if you're a one-man band at the moment, having a central document or a place where you can store all that information is really, really useful. But the other thing I want to talk to you about is when you're setting up accounts, try and streamline your account handles so they're all consistent. Okay? So in our case, you know, our website is blackdrop.co. So where possible, our handle is at blackdrop.co. It doesn't matter if you're visiting us on Instagram or visiting us on Facebook, visiting us on YouTube, you're using the same handle. So what you'll often find in social media is when you want to mention someone or put something in a post and add someone into that conversation or tag them, you use the at symbol like you would in an email, and then use the social handle, which is usually the end of that address. So where possible, keeping that consistent means you don't need to actually talk about your YouTube channel and your Facebook channel and your Instagram channel. You just go, find us at blackdrop.co. Doesn't matter if it's at your website, your social media, you know, it's all consistent. It makes it really, really easy for people to remember you. The other thing which is really good is you're going through this purpose, this document, and you're writing this stuff out, having a clear idea on what you want to use that channel for is really important. So Instagram is a visual medium, right? Not a great place to necessarily write articles, for instance. Okay, but it is a great place to inspire people with stories and quotes and other content that's going to be relevant for someone that is looking for inspiration on the channel. Facebook and LinkedIn is a great place. Well, LinkedIn in particular is a great place for articles and education. Okay, so it's really, really important when you take a step back, and we'll talk about these channels later. It's really important to take a step back and go, cool, we know what this channel's for. It helps you define what kind of content should actually be posted. It shouldn't be, you know, just aim fire. You know, you should be really strategic and really purposeful in understanding what the channel is going to be used for and the kind of content that is actually going to go well on that channel. And then the last one, when you're going through this audit, is it is really, really important to work out what your competitors are doing. Now, your competitors might be absolutely rubbish and doing nothing at all, but it's still important to understand that, because you can sit there and go, great, this is the benchmark. This is what I need to be doing to actually getting above that. And that's the goal, is to aim to be better and more engaging and you know, producing better content than what your competitors are doing, because that's going to have a direct reflection on how people perceive your brand in the marketplace as well. Cool. Just to wrap things up before we move on to the next point, we'll have a quick break now. We talked about engagement a little bit before. One of the questions I get asked a lot by clients is, how do I work out whether my social media is working well or not working well? And obviously there's some clear metrics like clicks, how many clicks is that generating back to the website? But sometimes it's not necessarily about clicks. Sometimes you have other goals by actually putting content out on social media. Branding is a really good example of that. And the metric that's used for measurement is, as I mentioned earlier, engagement. Simply put, engagement, if you want to work this out as a formula, a good engagement rate is above 1%. And if you're dipping below about 0.5%, your content probably needs some work. And to work that out, you basically take how many likes you get on a post, how many comments you get on a post, how many people share that or mention other people within the post. You times all that by 100, gives you a figure, and then you divide it by the amount of followers that you have on a platform. It's a really good formula. It gives you percentage. And typically speaking, if you're over 1%, your content actually isn't doing too badly. But one of the things you want to do when we get into the measure section is you want to keep a track of that as you're going, because if you can keep improving that, you know you're getting better and better and better at your social media activity. So the reason we use this formula is obviously this isn't necessarily about the number of followers that you have. It's about how good the content is, and the content is what is that direct reflection on effort that you're putting in and the response you're getting for that effort. Last one, and I'm going to leave this up on the screen for you guys while we take a quick break. This is a bit of a snapshot of the top six social platforms that are used in New Zealand on a regular basis. So you've got Facebook, Instagram, Pinterest, podcast, YouTube, and LinkedIn. Have a nosy at this while we're having a break. We've got some demographic information, size of platforms and stuff like that, and some information around what these channels are best used for. And when we come back, we can have a bit more of a break. But let's just take 20, just a little bit. We're not breaking for lunch right now, but it's a good opportunity to meet some other people and just get to know each other. Cool, we'll kick things back off in another 10 minutes.